welcome everybody. Chris Walker and Jerry Hassan here for Kakubri Book Week. Hello, Jerry.
Hello.
Good morning. Well, we don't have time to listen to this podcast, but we're joined today by the lovely Linda Wheatley. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning.
Linda is appearing at Kakubri Book Week at Feast Cafe on the 6th of March at 11 a.m, and she's the author behind the book Reaching Out Across the Waves. So tell us a little bit about, a little précis of the book Reaching Out Across the Waves, because it's a romantic novel set in Spain.
It is indeed, in the boating world in Spain, yeah, an adult romance. So basically, the books, we follow a young lady. She's just recently widowed, and she's going back to the boating world in Spain where her and her husband had shared some time. And basically, it's an emotional journey. It's about love and grief and discoveries, endings, beginnings, and it's an emotional roller coaster of a book. And we'll see Jess kind of meet up with some old friends, make some new friends. There's a bit of a twisted plot in there, okay. A bit of sex, but it's all in good taste. That kind of fits in with the theme of the book. We've got some Spanish culture, Spanish language. There's a lot.
And this has come obviously from your life with boats and living in Spain. These are all the connections you've brought into the book.
Yes,
and,
yes.
And tragedy and grief as well in your life? Is that something that's... So
there has been. And I guess, you know, as there has been in most people's lives at one point or another, grief. Obviously, being a life coach, I'm a mental health nurse, you know, I've worked in health and social care, do a lot of personal development. For me, grief is the one emotion that really, you cannot put it on hold, you cannot put it on a shelf. Grief will tell you how you need to go with it. And, you know, these waves that come of grief, you know, they'll just come, they'll knock you over for a while, and then each time you get back up, you're a little bit stronger, the waves get a little bit less. So, yeah, and grief's a big theme that weaves all the way through the book. But it's also about, you know, endings and new beginnings, because, you know, grief can be the end of one era, but, you know, it can be the start of something else as well.
And you were saying, Linda, when we were just chatting there before, you were talking about how you've always wanted to write. And you, as you were saying, how you've refound an earlier novel you've written. But tell us about that impetus. What made you always want to write? And what was it, you know, what was it you were always thinking you might write about before you got to this?
I don't think I ever thought I was going to write about something. But you, again, I say at the start of the book, I was always a creative child, full of life and energy and fun. I was kind of a child that was always, oh gosh, here she goes again. I'm kind of being slapped down and seen as being a bit naughty and mischievous. So I've just always had, I think, a lot of energy, a lot of imagination, a lot of creativity. And I think, you know, growing up in the wee village that I did, I absolutely adore my own company. I love my own company because I can just make things up, you know, about life and kind of entertain myself and my days. So I think it's that creativity. I'm a person that can take anything. We've bought old houses, the boat, you know, caravans, and I can look at something that's old and tired and just automatically know how to kind of work with it and make it better. And I guess that's a bit of the coaching too. It's about making things better. So I think as a creative child,
yeah,
I was reading books. I devoured books, but that came, you know, my mum did that too, I think, and just read and read and read. Nothing better than just picking up a good book and you just get lost in it.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of put it down and then when you do, it's like, oh, I didn't want that to end, you know, and you just kind of get immersed in it. And this is what I wanted very much for this book. And I'm really pleased to see a lot of the feedback that I'm getting so far is exactly it. So I think I'm just more creative. And then obviously, when I was about 11, I don't know if it was school, there was always creative stuff, but it was just like a notebook. And I wrote it, and again, it was just about a little girl lost at sea. And like I say, I remembered I'd written the book, but when we moved recently, obviously going up on the attic and things, I found it, and I totally forgot about that sea and the boat connection. So it must just be something there. And obviously, the interesting thing is when we went to Spain and we got the boat on a beautiful island, you know, because the marina where it's set at, you can get out on pontoons, but we had the boat on the island. And I do believe, you know, that people come into your life for a reason, season, all time, that kind of thing, and you make the most of the connections that you've got. And three or four boats down from us, it just happened the guy that had the boat, he was a journalist. And you know, you get talking as you do, socializing, you're meeting on your boats and going out for drinks and things. And I just said then, you know, oh god, I'd always wanted to write a book. I'm like, how would you even start? And it's like, he kind of gave me some tips about how he wrote as a journalist, but he just said, just start writing about anything. And obviously being out in Spain, honestly, that's, I found a place out there that my heart and soul just absolutely connects with it, and a level that nothing else or no other place has ever really connected with. So, and obviously, it's in Benalmádena, down at southern Spain, so it's in between Malaga and Marbella.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm down a place that really wouldn't have interested myself or my husband at all. It's not a place we would go to, but that's a bit of a story too. It was a couple of years before we bought the boat, we had a family member that was moving out there that had rented some places to go out and look. They couldn't get out, so they said, look, we've got this hotel booked for a few weeks, who wants to go? So I'm like, oh, come on then, because we've traveled all over mainland Spain. Would never really be a place we'd go, and you know, it's quite built up and high rises, it's not our usual place. But from the minute we got there, there was just something, and we're great walkers, so we've more or less walked from Malaga all the way down to Puerto Banús, not in the same day, but because they've got boardwalks. So it was my husband, Dave's had boats and his family had boats, small boats, but boats nonetheless. And then we started looking at the marinas.
Yeah.
And then, of course, that set Dave off. Oh, wouldn't it be good if we had a boat? So,
because
again, Dave and I were both people that you've got to live life. Do you know what I mean? It's there for living. And Dave does motocross. We've got a really full life, lots going on.
Yeah.
So we did. We spent the next couple of years going back and visiting all the marinas, looking at all the tariffs and looking at boats and all of that kind of thing. We didn't particularly warm to Benalmádena at the start, but that's where we ended up buying the boat.
Lovely.
So,
just before we got on to, you know, the meaning of boats and waves, which I think are pretty fundamental to life, is you were talking about people that encourage you. You talked about your husband, you talked about the journalist, you talked about your mum, you know, as well.
Yes.
And this is often a repeat story amongst writers, the people that encourage you. Would you say, was one of those the most significant, or was it a general kind of like sense of support you got from all of them, or...?
Oh, probably, I don't know, from all of them, I guess. I mean, my mum was a housewife. You know, she gave up her life for her kids and her family. She was very much the stay-at-home of that kind of older generation. But, you know, my parents were very supportive. They supported me and my brother and my sister in anything that we kind of did. They didn't push us, didn't put anything in, but anything we wanted to do, you just go for it. So absolutely. I guess the journalist, you know, that I met... had a little bit in that, but really we didn't really talk much after that. I didn't tell anybody I was writing a book, because, you know, what I do say to people is I never ever for one second thought this book was going to go public. This was my dream for me. And this is why. But I'm sure when I've spoke to a lot of writers, and I'm sure you will have done too, you do put your heart and soul into it. But I think that the intriguing, the good thing for me was, do you know what, I'm just going to write this and no holds barred. So I just started writing. And one of the good things, you know, that I do say is as well, because a lot of the time when I was writing the book, I didn't know what was going to be happening. But times I'd be writing, I'm like, oh, we're going that way, are we? Because there's a quote that I'd seen on Facebook, and it was about an author, and it said, if you want to read a really good book, be the one to write it. He said it more eloquently than me, but so that's kind of what happened with the book.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. Can I just go back? I know you're going to go to boats and water in a minute. I want to go back to that special place that you found in Spain, because it is an amazing feeling. I have a place just like that, and people think I'm bonkers, because this year when we go in September again, it'll be my 46th time to that very same spot. I've been going since I was a child. Now, some people might say that's imprinting from a parent, but it's not. I feel there this total sense of well-being, of and I know I'm at my way from work and it's holiday, etc. This total sense of freedom somehow. And that is where creative juices start, isn't it?
1,000,000%.
I go away to that place, and I'm working on the winter programme here at the hotel, and working out all the different things we can do, working on things with the fringe, because my brain, for some reason, empties at that place, and it gives you space. And is that how you started to write this book? Did you suddenly think, this is my time, I've spoken to that journalist down there, this is where I feel most comfortable, I'm going to write it here?
I totally resonate with everything you've said about that special place, you know, that well-being. For me, it's out on the water, on the front of the boat. When I was speaking to a friend about it, I found a total, I think nirvana is the word that she used, that I never even knew existed. You know, I've got a good life, really good life, really quite a balanced life, always have had, you know, being a life coach, looking after well health and well-being and personal development, all of that stuff. I had no idea what was coming to me going out there. And I've followed my husband, I've got a lot of fads over the years, you know, you're joining them, you do them and with gusto, but there. So it's out on the water, on the front of the boat, either when we're anchored up or just drifting. You've explained it better than I think I could. It's just a place where total peace and quiet. Mm. You're at one with nature. It's just you two, like you say, there's absolutely nothing to think about, nothing to worry about, and there is a deep sense of connection. I've always had a deep sense of connection with the water. You won't see me swimming in it.
Yeah.
Definitely not. I hate going in it. I'm feared from it that way. However, to be around it, to be near it, to hear it, absolutely. So I totally resonate and absolutely. But the book, I never thought, right, I'm here, I'm going to start writing a book. It's just flowed naturally. I don't know when that idea came. And like I say, it was more or less just the feelings that I got.
And did you write it in Spain, though?
I wrote most of it in Spain, the majority of it written out in Spain. But again, you know, through COVID, I didn't write at home initially. It was always when I went there, oh, the minute, you know, you just even at the airport, off you go.
Yeah.
I used to have the you know, the iPad on the plane.
Yeah.
Just, I don't write a story. I've found this is how I write. I just write snippets of bits. I'm quite I'm controlled and quite organised in one sense, but there's a scatterbrain side of me
Yeah,
and so I wasn't really writing so much. So I was just writing about feelings, observations, imagination, you know, doing a bit of research, because, you know, when we went to Spain, we just found that the people there too, I mean, being out on the water is one thing, but the people, you know, that we met out there, we had like a little close-knit community, some of them Spanish, and, you know, we were learning the Spanish language, learning more about the Spanish culture, and it's absolutely fascinating. So it was a mixture of all of those things.
Yeah.
I can't really remember at what point I thought, right, this is going to be a book. I think probably once I spoke to that journalist, started kind of writing things down, and then just obviously the creative juices are flowing, and then stories come into your head, and then it just kind of it just kind of grew arms and legs. But I mean, it was three and a bit years making to write the book.
Was it?
Yeah.
And as you're sort of saying, and you know, there's no right way to write beyond write. You know, if you write, you know that's the process of creation. But the way you went about it, you just wrote and published a book. Lots of people, you didn't publish any short stories before.
Nothing.
That's very unusual.
However, you know, through my work, I guess, you know, mental health nurse and then working in the caring environment, I've always been writing. You have to write notes and things. Being a life coach, obviously working with people, encouraging people to be, you know, who they are, to do what you want. You know, I'm very much believe that, you know, we're here. Our job really in life is to find out who we are, what we're about, what makes us tick, what we want to do, you know, and do it in a good way. Be kind to yourself and be kind to people along the way. It's a short journey that we're here. And life's for taking. You know, what's the point, you know, of getting to 60 and 70 and wishing that you did this, that and the other and you didn't? I know through coaching a lot of people, you know, it's fear that keeps people, you know, often where they're at, because it's that fear of the unknown, what happens if this and what happens if that. But I did work for the care inspectorate too, so I was a care inspectorate officer for 12 years, and that helped probably a bit more with the structure, because we were writing reports and reports for the Scottish Government. And when I started, the reports, I don't know if you're familiar with the care inspectorate, you know, we inspect care homes, care services. Well, there, because I'm not there now. But when I first started, the reports were a bit like War and Peace. Mm. You had to, and there was a certain structure, but it was great. We had admin support to kind of help, because I'm terrible at editing, spelling, you know, this is another thing. But when you're writing a book for yourself, you just go for it. So over the years, you know, that changed how the Scottish Government wanted reports written. So then you were condensing, using certain words. So I think all of that has probably help me kind of put stuff into the book, and into some sense. So it, life, I guess, itself has just kind of led to it all. Life's a journey, and the book's just been a smashing part of it for
me. Brilliant. And has the book, you know, I always think of books, they're not like children in lots of ways, most ways, but in some ways there is a relationship in it. It's something you've produced, and then it's independent of you as well as from you. What do you feel? Are you really happy with the book as it is? What did it turn out as you thought, you know, as a physical product, and the, you know, you say the evolutionary way you wrote it?
Absolutely. Yeah. And the publishing company that I'm with, and this is what I say to people, that book is me, no holds barred, nothing taken out, nothing changed. The picture on the front, I do talk about it at the talk, there's a whole story there, and there is some pictures in the book, and that is actually a Spanish artist. Yeah. And most of her paintings have never been seen before. That's a story in itself, how I met her husband.
Save that for the day.
I will save that for the day, but when I saw that picture,
yeah, it's a lovely picture.
That is the main character at a pivotal point in the book.
Is it really?
It is. Yeah. One of my favourite points in the book. Yeah. Yeah.
And can I just go back to grief? Because we've talked about grief. And obviously, talking to you this morning, I'm picking up that in your sort of life coaching, mental health, well-being, you'll have seen and met people who have had grief beyond what any of us have ever had before.
Mm-hmm.
You'll have had to deal with letting them come to terms with that grief and guiding them through it as well. How traumatic in your life and job was that?
It can be traumatic, but I guess in the work that I do, I'm very compassionate, very empathetic, and I feel for people, and I want to help people. I definitely do believe I was put on this earth, and our family are like that.
Yeah.
Definitely put on this earth to make it a better place. I know it's that everybody calls me Pollyanna because that's it's why we're having bread when we can have cake. It's that kind of person. But it is traumatic. However, you know, it's a great sense of being able to support somebody through that. And I've always taken a coaching approach. I just didn't realise I do it. I'm not a person to tell you or anybody how to do anything.
Mm.
I get a tremendous amount of satisfaction from empowering you to find all of that from within you. You find a way to get through it.
Well,
and
you'll have had people who have been absolute rock bottom, won't you?
I guess I have. I can't think of anybody offhand, but yeah, I'm sure I have.
It's having the ability to bring them out of that, to tell them that there's something beyond the grief that they're in. There's,
yep.
There's light at the end of the tunnel, as they say.
Yep.
And so have you used a lot of those experiences in the book?
I have, but I think the grief in the book is more from my own experience.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to pinpoint any one thing, because again, looking at the book, it's just encompasses everything of me.
And of course, grief can be a positive, because it's a learning, growing thing.
It really is in my experience. But grief, in my experience too, it never totally goes away. You only find
good,
a way
good point.
To deal with it. That's my experience
from
working with other people and from my own. I think a lot of other emotions, you know, emotions will gnaw away at you.
Mm.
And eventually when you kind of look at them, take them out and deal with them, they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
Grief, you just have to learn to get to that point where you can just put it away. It doesn't lead your life. It's, you know, the people, the events, the memories, the love, all of that is still there. It still hurts when you think about it.
Yeah.
You're still always going to have your moments. You're going to hear a song, all of these things.
Yeah.
But
do you think we're getting better at that as a society? Because, you know, there used to be the stereotype of British culture. There used to even be a stereotype of Scottish culture, that the lyricalness of Scottish culture was only when people felt unable to talk about stuff when they were drunk or at kind of various celebrations. Do you think we're getting better?
I think we are. I still think there's a long way to go. I mean, it's great. You know, we've got things like Mental Health Awareness Week. You know, you've got adverts on the TV now about talking, and I definitely think the younger generation, again, you know, in most of my career, my health and social care career, it's been with older people. And older people, and again, that was my family too, you don't talk about things.
Yeah.
I don't know if that, again, it's came from the war and all of those things, I guess, but it's very much you don't talk about things. You don't air your linen in public, stiff upper lip and get on with it. And that's okay, I think, to a point, but I've seen and I've felt how destructive that can be. If you don't, as painful as it is to get things out there, it's better because you learn, you develop, and they send you on to bigger and better things. But you know, it's all well and good when you're sitting absolutely heartbroken or in such a place that you can't see a way out. That's easier said than done. But I think we're definitely moving in the right direction as a culture and as a society, but I still think there's a long way to go. People have that sense of failure. Well, what will people think if I mention this? They're going to think different of me. You know what I mean? And, oh, and I'm a failure because I should be able to cope. One thing, as a coach and a consultant and as a person, I never ever say to anybody, stay strong or be strong. No way.
Yeah.
I hate it when people say that. And I know people say that as words of encouragement because there's a lot of the time,
yeah,
I don't feel strong, I don't want to be strong, and I'm not strong. All I need to be right now is just here, you know, experiencing whatever it is that I'm experiencing and getting through it. I don't want to be strong. So it's a word I never use.
And what's next in your... I know the book's part of a trilogy. Is your next writing a part of that trilogy?
It is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of three. So book two's already most of the way written through. And then book three, the idea's in my head. And I do say to people, book three... Well, I won't say it, but book three, yeah. That one's in there. There's a bit more nautical, a bit more of the boat and stuff in there. But with the book as well, at the minute I'm doing the promotion, I don't know if it's fair to mention, I said to you, Chris, as well, because I've also fulfilled another dream of co-writing a song, and there's a video for the book as well, if it's okay to talk about that. So another dream of mine, I absolutely love music, always love music, get a deep sense, oh, I love the words, lyrics, get lost in them. Cannot sing, cannot dance, I'm an absolute wooden top, but I absolutely love music. A lot of local bands I've followed, and I was lucky enough, you know, I've done PR for a couple of local bands, so I do PR for a fantastic artist, Jenna Louise, and she's in Darlington. I met her through Journey South, who I know, because I don't know if you remember them with the brothers on X Factor, God, a million years ago. Absolutely love those guys. So I met Jenna Louise through Carl Pemberton, one of the brothers, and I'm doing PR for her. So another dream of mine was to kind of be influential in a song. Never thinking for one minute. So when I got the book, you know, when the book was published and everything, so I spoke to Jenna and we co-wrote the song together, and which is even more amazing. We've produced it in Carl Pemberton's studio because he's an absolute a dream of mine. Absolutely, you know, I've got a lot of respect for him as an artist and as a person. And same with Jenna. Jenna's got a voice. It is so emotional. It's a really powerhouse. She's amazing. So I got to co-write the song, record it in the studio. Carl actually sang on it, and then the video, which was amazing because we sold the boat a couple of years ago and we've not been at Spain. These always, you know, it helps me keep connected. So what was lovely, I got connected with somebody who's doing starting up her own media business, and I was able to kind of create a storyboard for the video. And it got shot out in Spain, so I was on Teams with all the location video shoots. And what's lovely is people that read the book can listen to that song and get all the emotions and see the story, and they can actually see on the video. What we got is we've got a model and you just see the back of her. Because I'm one of these, when I read a book, I've explained a lot in detail how people look, but I left a lot of facial features out. When I'm reading a book, I want to decide what they look like.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So we've got the back of Jess, and she's on some pivotal places in the book.
Wow. And that video is where, on YouTube?
It's on YouTube, yeah, and it's on Jenna Louise's Facebook, it's on my Facebook and social media, and the song itself is on Spotify on Jenna Louise, and Jenna's doing an album launch. We're just getting ready for that, actually, week before the Kakubri Book Week, so she's got her album out in HMV up at the Northeast, and I'm so proud that she put Miss Carinos, the song for the book, is on the album, so she'll be singing it live, which
is
great.
I'll put a link to the YouTube on the
podcast
bio that we're going to do, but we are rapidly running out of time. Jerry, you want a final question for...
No, I haven't got a final question. No, thank you. You've covered so much fascinating ground.
We could talk all day, actually, but I don't want to spoil it for those people that are going to come along. I must
remind
you, on Wednesday, the 6th of March, Linda is at Feast Cafe at 11 a.m. talking about her book, Reaching Out Across the Waves, which we haven't really delved too deeply into. We're saving that for the day.
We've
and
done
the story
good.
And the cover, because there's an old story to tell in there. So put aside, I don't know how long they've given you there at Feast.
I think it's an hour.
Put aside a couple of hours for Linda.
We go a bit further sometimes in our book fairs. We let a little bit of flexibility time wise to go deeper, don't we?
Yeah, because I think there'll be a lot of questions for you, so you must go along. Thank you so much for coming to see us today, Linda, and good luck with the book and the other two that are following it.
We're looking
forward
to
it. Thank you so much. Thank you for your time. That's been great. Really appreciate it.
Pleasure.
That's good.